Hello, welcome to Betch Slapped. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
And we are here with the star, one of the stars and director of Thoroughbreds, Anya Taylor-Joy and Corey Finley. And we're very excited. We just came.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Good job,
pleasure
Sammy, not
here.
Botching anyone's names.
Yeah.
It's a tough job. I know.
We are just currently recovering from last night's premiere party, which was so much fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. Admittedly, I just ate a piece of toast because I'm slightly hungover, but I'm making it through this alive, I think. Did you guys have fun? The movie was incredible.
So much fun. I think it was wonderful to see everyone's, I sat through the screening.
Yeah.
And it was so lovely to see everybody really enjoying the film and then all the like gasps and like laughter. It was great. And then obviously afterwards you get a cocktail. So that's not,
of course,
never a bad thing.
What's not to love?
A few cocktails.
it was wonderful. And we had a smallish life-size-ish chessboard.
Yeah, that was
great. Which is very true to the movie. And all sorts of shenanigans with chess pieces were going on afterward.
I've never actually asked you, do you know how to play chess?
Poorly, at a very low level.
What I was thinking during that scene when she was, Olivia was picking up the chess pieces, I was wondering, was she actually like playing? Did you calculate each move?
I was paying attention to that.
Yeah, she was playing. I don't know how to play chess, so I didn't know.
She was playing herself, and she was following the rules of the game on both sides.
Good
and
to know.
We have a script supervisor on the movie who is a real like chess fanatic, I spent some time with him devising a chess pattern that reflected the character.
Right, right. Well,
oh yeah.
I can tell. So much thought goes into everything.
Oh yeah.
I love that scene though. It's like
so good.
Something I loved about the movie was how it was very like quiet, and the sounds were very like distinct, and it really made you just feel like this like eerie vibe, which is what the movie
intense.
Is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone's gonna murder someone any moment.
We're not gonna give anything away.
Good. Yes.
Yeah.
No, but I love a movie that can get under your skin a little bit. We were certainly aiming for that in a fun way.
How did you come up with the idea?
Well, do you want to tell us the idea? Tell everyone who's listening.
Oh, yeah. The
elevator pitch of said film.
Well, Thoroughbreds is the story of two teenagers in suburban Connecticut who have a very complicated, messy, manipulative friendship. And it's a friendship that pushes them together into a murder plot. Mm. I think we're dancing around spoilers just the right amount with that summary.
Yes. I know, that was great.
Just dancing around. Horse dancing. It was really good. I mean, how did you come up with the idea of like
who did you grow up in Connecticut?
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. I've been living in New York for a while now, and Connecticut felt like the right sort of community that was close to New York, but very kind of upscale, very insulated, lots of horse ownership, and it just felt like the right place.
I also feel like the characters, like, they really felt like Greenwich girls. Like, that was what, like, if I had to invent them, like, that's them.
You've just already invented them.
Yeah.
So,
like,
good
dead
job.
Inside.
Thank
boarding
you.
School.
Right.
Kind of messed up.
But, I mean, I sort of felt like I also don't have feelings sometimes. Like, just, like, but then I also have the feeling of having too many, like, for example, and it's always inappropriate, like, I'm watching, like, the Bachelor Winter Games, and I'm crying, and I'm sitting there, why do I feel this way? Or when something really exciting happens for work, I'm just like, why can't I feel excitement right now?
You know that all the time.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
But then, or sometimes I'll like, feel the right feeling, like, 2 months later.
Yeah. Slightly delayed response. I'm sorry for the delayed response self.
Yeah.
So where did you come up with that idea? Like, what inspired that?
Yeah, I think, and the movie is about very sort of extreme characters psychologically, but I hope that there is something relatable about them, and I hope that people see an uncomfortable amount of themselves in them. And in a lot of ways, I think writing the script was kind of a form of free therapy. It was putting two sides of myself that I am troubled by and also have a lot of love for into these two characters and sort of letting them hash it out.
Was it easy to play this role?
Interesting question. I think it was very easy to find Lily. The first time I read the script, I could hear her voice in my head, and I knew exactly how I wanted to do it. But my characters are very, very real for me, and so when we were on set, you know, our darling crew members would come up to me and be like, God, Lily's such a bitch. And I would get so mama bear protective. I was just like, you can't talk about my character that way. She's completely justified in everything she's doing. And it's only in watching the movie and having shed some of her skin that I'm like, oh, like, my lady's a little toxic, a little bit twisted, and a whole bunch of scary. So,
right.
Yeah, that was hard. Totally, totally. I think because we only had 22 days to shoot, even though we had a lot of fun.
Oh my God. That's it. Doesn't take like years and years. It's just 22 days.
Oh yeah, years and years of development, but this one came together very quickly.
Wow, cool. Okay, totally. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Yeah, there weren't a lot of sets, I guess. Yeah. It was all like the house and
the chest.
Yeah. That was the house.
That was part of the house. Exactly. That was literally, like, that was actually there. We did not create that. The chess pieces
Whose
were
house
all there.
Is that?
Yeah.
The house is alive. Yeah. I want that. Yeah. In the backyard.
No, I was a little scared of it. I was like, I don't want to live like that. It's really too cool. Many scary rooms.
Yes. Bit of a castle. Yeah. Almost a dungeon.
Perhaps.
But
yeah.
A beautiful one.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Were you and Olivia friends, or was it sort of like you were in character and then you kind of had like a weird relationship because of that?
We hadn't known each other prior to filming this, but we were very aware of each other because we were both at Sundance the same year, her with Meryl and the Dying Girl, and me with the Witch. And so we sort of had like this weird sort of parallel going on. And I don't think we did it intentionally, but we definitely had our first day that we ever met. We had the loveliest day. We talked about everything, you know, Anya and Olivia met. And then we both just sort of stayed quite separate because we only had the 22 days to film. And so whenever we're on top of each other in the scenes, we're hitting each other with some pretty like sharp barbed wires of dialogue. But there was never any animosity. It was just like, you know, she was doing her job, I was doing my job, and we would come together and be sort of like these symbiotic beings whilst we were filming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were both very dialed in. And it was a very, you know, friendly, fun set, but I think a very focused one.
Very much so.
Yeah.
It makes sense with how your characters were relating in general, mm-hmm. just that you would sort of have like this distance, because it felt like you like loved each other as much as like your characters could potentially feel that, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like you hit something, you're really on point with the idea of like this culture of being dead inside, you know, how like there's all these memes about it, and like even there's like on Instagram, like there's a little Jiffy that's just twirling that just says dead inside. I just,
also when people like say like they're laughing at something, or they like are just like they're really into something, they'll be like, I'm dead.
And that's when they have too many emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't
so
even
they cannot even
handle. But it's like the whole time you're like, no one asked you to even like just right. Why do you have to tell me about that?
It's so weird.
No one asked you to handle these things.
If you were like an English speaker, like you'd be like, I can't even. That doesn't mean
finish the sentence. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but grammar is a strange and beautiful thing. It's, yeah. love the way that it transforms over the years. And yeah, I hadn't thought about like the hidden violence in language of, you know, I'm dead.
Yeah. Constantly. R.I.P. me. Like that's constantly
right, like, that's a joke.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's something I was thinking about. I was while watching. I was like, this is really going to resonate with millennials, because I, like you just said, there is so much that like I recognized in these characters, like this feeling of sort of like, I don't want to like feel something because it's like too much, or I don't want to like admit that I feel something, that like that sort of feeling that people want to just like totally distance themselves from their emotions, mm-hmm. and that people are sort of afraid mm-hmm. of what they're gonna feel.
Yeah. Okay, would you rather cry once every year or once every week?
Once every week, release same. That. Like, just let
it's
it
already
out.
Happening.
Constantly hysterically crying.
No, like, sometimes, like, literally sometimes on a plane, I will deliberately pick specifically sad movies just so I can sob for, like, a continuous amount of time and then be like, and I'm good. Like, and I've relaxed.
Oh my God, I do the same thing. It's sort of like this, it's like, it feels really good as a release just to, just the actual crying. And it's funny that in the movie she like was talking, teaching her how to fake cry.
Yeah.
And that it really like is a very weird thing.
Can you fake cry? Well, you're an actress, I figure you can fake cry. I can't do it. I mean, maybe I can. I don't really try.
Maybe I'll try the technique on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't cry. I'm always so embarrassed when I'm watching a movie and that makes me cry on the plane. And I'm just like,
you cry in like every movie.
I know. And the Bachelor Winter Games. And it was tears of happiness though. When I see Yeah, like
those are the best. Oh my goodness, the Olympics or like anytime someone's right. like, I love dancing, and so I go to the ballet a lot. I go to see different shows, and every time they come out and take their bow, I'm literally just sobbing. Like yeah. you're living your dream. Yeah. It's so exciting.
Yeah, like I definitely feel happiness for people on screen.
Right, but for yourself, it's much harder.
It's harder. It's just yeah. harder. It's that's crazy. I should yeah. see a therapist.
Do you ever feel like, and I'm sure you both experience this, having had a lot of success. Like, do you ever feel like you're somewhat detached from your own success? Like you aren't like fully realizing it as it's happening?
I do. I think I, and we all feel some form of like imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. a term that I really like. I think particularly we'll say, yeah. as a director on set, there's such a, your job is to be kind of the calm, cool leader of it all and to at least appear to know exactly what you're doing at all times. And I think it's such a profound human fear that you're going to be found out at yeah. any moment.
I feel like that's also like female entrepreneurs have that too, like mm-hmm. the imposter, like, oh, the men know yeah. what they're doing more than we do. So
I
think
Corey admits that
it's not just us.
No, it's everybody. And I think there's a comfort to that. Like, I remember the day I realized that whenever I met someone, I always thought, oh God, I hope they like me. And then one second I was like, what if I don't like them? Right. Like, yeah. how does that mm-hmm. work actually as a thing? And in terms of being detached from success, it hits me in the weirdest moments where, like, I don't know, I'll be watching a Disney movie or something, and I'll realize that I'm, you know, like part of a movie making community, and I'll just start to cry, like, oh my God, I'm actually an actress. This is happening.
I'm but
it never happens when it's like, over here, take a photograph. You're just like, why are all these like bright flashing lights yeah. coming at me? I'm just trying to keep it together.
Leave me alone.
I relate to that a lot, but not in the actress sense.
Oh no.
I'm not an actress.
Yeah.
Although, as you know, my fifth grade yearbook, yes. I wanted to be an Academy Award winning actress.
She looks up to Meryl.
Doesn't?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. her name is Meryl. She doesn't yeah. even need a second name.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked Meryl though, like when I was like 17 before it was cool to like Meryl.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of people yeah. did.
But you could become Meryl.
You're an OG.
You next Meryl. No, you're like really talented. Like, I wouldn't just like say that, like kiss your ass on our podcast if I didn't really think so.
You wouldn't
like,
throw really. The Meryl comparisons.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll bashfully take it.
How did you, so I, just something you were saying earlier, like you always used to worry, like, what if people don't like me? I think that is obviously a universal thing. At what point did you make that switch, and how did you sort of get there?
It was my mom, actually. My parents are amazing people, and they're almost, because I've got five brothers and sisters and I'm number six, but I basically grew up kind of like an only child, and we had a weird, like very much family-based relationship, but also we were sort of roommates where they like let me do whatever I wanted to do. And I just remember I used to come home from like my first fashion shows or whatever, and I'd be crying and I'd be feeling so like, oh my God, like, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, why am I here? And my mom just looked at me. She was like, can you please stop taking this so seriously? This is supposed to be fun. Like, just go out and enjoy yourself. And at that point, I was like, yeah, this is a pretty cool position to be in. I'm just going to go out and try and enjoy everything rather than being like, oh my God, what if they don't like me? Like, what if I'm not special? What if I'm blah, 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 blah? It was just like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to be myself. I'm here. Just enjoy it.
I want to try to take that advice.
Yeah. I mean, I overthink everything.
Yeah. I think everybody does.
Yeah. It's also nice to imagine, like, the inner world going on in somebody else's head where, like, you freak yes. out. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever had this where, like, you've been really drunk at a party and you feel really embarrassed about seeing somebody
yes.
else.
Yeah. And yesterday.
Then, yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. But then they come up to you and they're like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed about the way I acted. I'm like, we're the same person right now. This is yeah. exciting.
Yeah. We're both on the same
totally.
Page.
The thing that sort of grounds me in that is that you have to remember that no one is thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves.
Exactly.
At oh, yes. all times. Yeah. Like, there's no exception.
We're all the star of our own movie.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I love these this idea of parties just filled with people that all think they're the most embarrassing person at the party.
Yeah. You should make a movie about that.
It's comforting. Nice.
There you go. Yeah,
there's an idea.
One.
Just, yeah, it's interesting, yeah, because you sometimes when I'm drunk, I'll say something dumb. I'll be, like, literally thinking about that for the next hour.
Totally.
Like, I shouldn't have said that. Like, I need to unsay that. Like, just all these, like, and it, yeah.
I find when someone else makes, like, a social faux pas, I don't judge them. No. I immediately think, I'm so glad someone else did something to look a little bit bad because it takes some heat off of me, which is a testament to my own selfishness, I'm sure. But, but I certainly don't judge them as much as they judge themselves.
I'm very much with you.
Yes.
Maybe a good thing to think about is, like, okay, I'm worrying about me. They're all worrying, like, they're worrying about them. So, like, even if they don't do something stupid, you know that they're still freaking out in their head.
Right. Sometimes, though, when, like, drinking, I'll, like, go to sleep, then I'll have these dreams, and then I'll wake up and really unsure if, like, that actually happened or, like, is that something that, like, I turned into drama from, like, in my head? Like, I have a very a detached way of seeing what my night was. Yeah. And I mean, I don't really drink that much, so it's like...
Maybe that's why. Yeah. I think you're not sure enough.
No, but I think the nicest thing about being, you know, intense overthinkers, which it sounds like we all are, and I'm pretty sure most of the human race is having an intense overthinking friend where, like, you'll randomly get a text message, like, 3 days afterwards being like, I got something here about it. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I said this to you. And you're just like, bitch, you're fine. Like, I literally have not thought about it once.
Yeah.
You're all good.
I'm the overthinking friend texting everyone. They're like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Exactly. And that's the nicest feeling because you're like, oh, okay, it's all in my head. Yeah. It's absolutely fine.
Are we all the overthinking friend?
Yeah.
But we just don't feel anything.
Yeah. I think everyone thinks they're the overthinking.
Right.
Let's hope.
Oh, we're not alone, guys.
I know. Unity, people. Unity.
But we're all dead inside, so.
But we're all literally dying.
We're all thinking.
We're all literally dying, too. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Literally dying.
Sorry. In literally the dying. Longest sense, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have readers, dear Betch. So we always have people write to us, dear Betches, and we've been giving advice since 2011. Whether or not they take it, we don't know. But so we have a fan. So it's... I don't know what it is. I think maybe about dating. Hey, ladies. No, actually, it's not. Big fan of you ladies. Super inspirational. I'll get right to it. My best friend from college and I have really grown apart. By the way, I'm 29, so college was a while ago. I was wrong. This is not about dating. They are not going to date in this story. I know that naturally happens after college, but we still live close by. We even remained tight in the first years after graduation, helping each other through breakups and family drama. In the last few years, though, she's become increasingly flaky and weird. I know we all love to cancel plans, but she literally always cancels. I called her out on it once, and she was more reliable for a little, but it didn't last. Or she would try to schedule hangouts months in advance, which made our friendship feel like work. I haven't seen her in almost 7 months, but I just got to save the date for her wedding. We had always talked about being bridesmaids in each other's weddings, but she didn't ask me. I've never met her fiance. We've been through so much together, and her increasing absence in my life really hurts. I wish I knew what happened to us, but I don't. I'm really tempted to skip her wedding and try to move on, but is that petty? I don't feel like an important part of her life, but after everything we've been through, would it be shitty not to go? I'm super torn and would love your opinion. Thank you. Sincerely, a rejected bridesmaid.
Oh,
so dramatic.
Brutal. She had an excuse.
To not go to the wedding.
It.
Yeah, that's the best. I'm sure she can come up with one.
I think let's get all deep and meaningful for a second.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm ready to go there too.
No, but genuinely, I think at this point you just sort of have to take care of yourself. And if you're gonna go to this wedding out of obligation, and you're gonna go there and feel shitty and feel like what happened to this, and then go home and like cry whilst eating a tub of ice cream. Don't go. Like, put yourself first, because it sounds like this is what your friend has been doing.
And take care of yourself.
It sounds like she's overthinking.
That's what I was just about to say. She's thinking too much of what the other girl is thinking, and not like we can't put ourselves in her shoes.
Right. I have a feeling the friend invited her out of obligation, like, or just feeling like it would be so like egregious not to invite her at all.
Sure.
But I don't know. I feel like with these sort of things, it's like, okay, once you get to a certain age, it's like if you don't have like a real deep relationship that's like you're able to maintain sort of naturally without an insane amount of effort and negativity attached to it, like maybe this girl has like social anxiety and that's why she constantly cancels. And like, who knows what it, maybe they, she just doesn't really like want to see her. So it's sort of like, why force it? It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's just, we talked about this actually on our last Betch Lab, Jordana and I. And it's sort of like, if it doesn't like work, it doesn't have to work. And that doesn't have to be bad.
I'm just dying at you and your little microphones.
Just so everyone can picture this.
Yeah. We've improvised, and Sammy's put a lav mic to a Betch's pen, and she's holding it with her pinky up.
Like, as if I'm sipping tea.
Nothing says authoritative moral advice like a tiny, tiny microphone.
Guys, We have to put this, yeah, we're going to, yeah, put this on Instagram story so everyone can fully see what we're talking about.
Yeah. And it's not like I was even posing for that. Like, naturally.
But anyway.
No, but seriously, I feel like at this point you have to just take care of yourself and put yourself, mm-hmm, first. And rather than thinking about like, oh my God, what is she going to think about me? Just be like, okay, is it going to hurt my feelings to go to this wedding? Or can I just sit at home and go watch a really awesome movie like Therapy?
Yeah.
Seriously, about two friends.
You turned that into a pitch. That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Sick plug.
Yeah.
Skill right there. Yeah.
I don't know. I've grown apart a lot from, I was used to have no social anxiety. Like, I would love to talk to anyone I meet. Now I'm just like, only if they say hi. Like,
yeah, no, yeah. I can attest to that.
And also the older...
Amy used to make friends with everybody outside the bar in college.
Every single
like
person.
She would talk to anybody.
Whatever. Now I just run,
now
like, just home with blinders on. But yeah, like nowadays, now that I'm older, I feel that like I want to just concentrate on a few of my friends.
Yeah.
And that's really it. We know each other so well, and like that's the relationships I really give a shit about. So I feel like maybe this girl is just like, just take a note and just go move on.
Yeah.
It's not petty.
Agreed.
Also, like how you were just saying, like, I think a lot of people relate to that. Like, I used to be so friendly. I used to be like just chatty with everyone. I also used to be like that.
Yeah.
And now I also feel like I don't really want to. Like, there's a lot more like anxiety sort of associated with it. And I kind of feel like that ties into, not to, this isn't even a plug. I genuinely feel like this ties into the movie and the way, yeah, that sort like people are detached from their emotions and their friendships. And like, even like in the movie, when you like hug Olivia, like you guys like, there's like this moment that you see like, oh, like you feel like you both like really want to like hug each other and connect, but you both are so like personally held, yeah, back from it that you can't.
Yeah.
And I feel like that happens. Yeah. And I feel like, right, like we would be weird if we hugged each other, even though we're very close friends.
Yes.
And it's this sort of like, you can't be totally, right, like you can't be like very vulnerable with people, like even those you're really close to, because you're not, that would require being vulnerable to yourself.
But no, but also, I mean, time is, especially like in our society that's getting like quicker and quicker and quicker, time is so precious, and so give it to the people that you want to give it to. Like,
right,
I'm sure that all of us can attest to the fact that for the people that we really love, we don't even feel like we have enough time to give them the time that they need.
Right.
So if some girl's inviting you to your wedding, to her wedding, but like she's not made you a bridesmaids and she hasn't seen her in 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give time to the people that love and respect you, man.
Like, yeah.
So true.
Value your time.
Yeah. I put on my to-do list, call dad, call mom.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
Just so I don't forget. But yeah, it's important to make that time.
It is.
Let's play some games. We play, ooh, Would You Rather, ooh, a lot.
Yeah,
now everyone plays Would You Rather, but it can't,
we started
here.
It. I mean, oh, yeah, not like originally.
I think originally
you
we
made
were
it
playing
huge.
It when, yep, we were like 20 in like Fire Island.
Yeah, but we didn't like invent the
Fire
game.
Fire Island.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we would just turn it into a drinking game instead, yeah, of like, yeah, you know, anything else.
Turn it into a drinking game here today.
Okay, would you rather date someone who sobs uncontrollably during every sad movie, just uncontrollably, like in public everywhere, or literally never cries about anything?
But that's actually kind of hard.
Because it's a guy, because I would rather
never
cry.
No, it could be
a
girl. Guy.
Yeah, but it's gotta be a girl for Corey.
For,
yeah,
me, I would rather take the sobbing, because it's if it's just during movies, it would be another thing if it was like getting in your way in everyday
life.
Let's
scratch out the movies. Let's do like randomly hysterically crying over the smallest inconvenience.
Well, that's tough. I would still rather if it was truly never crying, that would make me very concerned.
Right.
Yeah. So if those are the options, I'm going for the cry.
I feel like I would end up in a relationship with a person just being like, just fucking cry, like show me you have feelings.
I think oh man, I don't know. The never crying is, again, a red flag, because then, like, find your emotions, dude. Oh, my God. The public crying. I just can't
public
do
crying.
It. I can't do it.
If I were a guy dating a girl or a girl dating a girl, I wouldn't care if she cried a lot. But
yeah.
I feel like it's like if a guy cries too much, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not.
I know that's not probably like the most PC thing to say.
No, it's this prison of masculinity you have to walk around in.
No, but
so
but I'm also not gonna lie. Like, I remember when I saw the fourth Harry Potter in cinemas, and like Cedric Diggory died. Spoiler. But I was watching it and I was crying so hard that I was like, oh my God, who is this person that's like sobbing uncontrollably? And then I went into myself and I was like, oh shit, it's me.
So,
I think public crying, as long as you have people around you that are like, we don't want to associate with you, but like love you deep down. That's fine.
It's so embarrassing when like you're in a movie though, and then you start to make noises, and you're just like, nah. Yeah. Like your dad, I went to the what movie was it? It was like Johnny Depp, and it was Finding Neverland. It wasn't sad at all.
Sad.
That's a sad one.
Really, I don't really remember. I just cry every single time someone else is crying. I just like feel it, and I'm just done. That's the day for me.
So you're the girlfriend. You're basically saying that you're the one that cries throughout.
Yeah, I cry. You're right. So I was trying to put myself in my own shoes. I'd rather cry, I think. Same.
Whatever. I like to cry. I think crying gets a bad rap, but actually it's like a very normal, healthy, emotional release.
Hell yeah.
And it feels really good. So everyone should try it.
Okay, speaking of movies, this is the last one. Would you rather date a movie crier or a movie clapper? Like they get up at the end of the movie and they're just like, that was so good, and just clapping so intensely. What would you rather have? Like a hysterical crier with noise?
Can I have both? They both show great emotions towards movies, and I feel the same way. Like,
as long as I'm in the
movie.
What
if it was like, what's a bad movie? Give me a bad movie. Be honest.
Could be dangerous here. Yeah. Bad movie.
Okay, like what's the
notorious? From Justin to Kelly.
Yes.
From Justin to Kelly.
We're not upsetting anyone here. Yeah. Julie. Like, what if you're dating someone and they're just like, that was epic, and just starts like, you know, applause till they're the last one.
Yeah, that would not be good.
That might be worse than never crying. Exactly. That might be. Yeah. That's pretty rough.
Yeah. Wait, actually, speaking of Just Friends, we were just talking about Just Friends earlier. I went to that movie and my friend Alexa got up and just started screaming. That movie was hella tight, yo.
She did it.
And I started hysterically laughing, and then I started hysterically crying because I was hysterically laughing. So I have an example of best of both worlds.
You're still friends with her.
Yeah,
so maybe you would pick that.
Yeah. I think I would. It's hysterical.
I think she was being like funny though.
She was. Right. But that movie was hella tight. Well, thank you so much for being here. Everyone should go see Thoroughbreds. It's out? Is it coming out?
On Friday.
It's Friday. So definitely go do that. Don't have plans. Go see Thoroughbreds. Go see it alone. I like to see movies.
Or have that be your plan. Like bring the.
That's what I'm
bring
saying.
Bring the plan clan. Like exactly. Bring everybody over.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bring your overthinking friend.
Yeah.
Bring yourself.
I had people DMing me this morning, like, what is this movie? Like, it looks really good.
Yeah. Oh, that's such good news.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good. We put out the trailer, and everyone's like, that's so me. I'm so this character.
Ooh,
I'm
what
so
is
that
your fan
character.
Base?
I know. I was about to say, I was just like, I'm so glad they're
dark,
all seeing parts of each other, but at the same time.
No, I think it really is. For our fan base, specifically.
So we're really
excited.
So
it's for the best type of people.
So everyone should go see it.
It's for the best betches.
Yeah.
That's what it is. There we go. The bad betches.
Yeah.
Bad betches.
Yeah, you guys are really going to like it. We promise.
Yeah. I thought you were telling.
It's also not that long. Oh, no. This is to the audience. It's also not that long of a movie, which I think is very, very important.
For people.
For people. Yeah.
Tight 90 minutes. You can get dinner after.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole date night.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, some movies, they just go on and on and on.
Date night. I mean, you can bring your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, but like a whole group of ladies going to see this and then getting like margaritas afterwards. Yeah. Not a bad evening.
Yeah. Okay, well, we just planned your weekend, so everyone should go see it. Thank you again for being here. We really appreciated this.
Thank you guys. And thank you for last night.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
So fun. Yeah. Thanks for getting me drunk.
Thanks for letting us host it.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.